Fess always asks the same thing. I'm going to switch it up. I'm switching it up. I'm doing that.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you ready for this? Okay, Daniel, what's your favorite type of coffee?
I don't like coffee.
You don't like coffee?
Get off my show.
News and commentary on the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome one and all to the Webcomic Beacon newscast. I am your host, Ross Scott. This is newscast number 35, the newscast for September 11th, 2011. Yes, it's September 11th. We are going to just kind of ignore that for the sake of the show, because there is comics things happening, and you probably have heard enough about it on NPR today. So, let's move on. Yes, big, serious things. Okay, let's try and make today about awesomeness. So, with me today on the show, we have two awesome people, speaking of awesomeness. First with us, as always, the Dan Rydell to my Casey McCall. No, that's my Art Fight co-host. Well, don't tell Marty. The Dan Rydell to my Casey McCall on the newscast, the one and only Alex Heberling.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very well.
Drawn any ponies lately?
I haven't drawn ponies lately, but I was sketching all night while I caught up on Project Runway.
Nice.
The ponies, they're like a virus.
Actually, so I mentioned to you guys before we started recording that I'm going out of town today. I'm going to New York City to Parsons New School of Design for Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm heading. Not to meet with Tim.
Right.
I wish. But no. Not happening. Also, I don't know how to
Someone drew a Tim Gunn pony before I did. I'm kind of mad about that.
Oh, man. What a great idea. I did maybe spend 45 minutes explaining to a girl what the deal was with My Little Pony the other night. And she kept sitting next to me. That's the most amazing part.
That's a plus.
I know. Who would have expected? Anyway. Also with us today on the show is the a returning guest, Dan Potter, everybody, from, I will let you pronounce it because I don't want to
screw Walking up. The Lethe.
WalkingTheLethe.com.
That's L-E-T-H-E for that last com, bit.
Right. yeah.
I am also the one of the founding members of a new comic collective called Open Fire,
which I believe we talked about when it was announced on here on the site, and you guys have some
wasn't
really cool.
Wasn't that just last week?
Was that last week? I thought it was 2 weeks ago.
Maybe either last week or the week before that. It's been very recent.
It's definitely recently.
Yeah.
Yes. Fair enough. We went public recently.
Yeah. But you guys are doing some great tips on your site and interesting articles. That's
yeah. Really cool. We're all pushing each other to actually blog about coherent subjects on our. On our hub site, which is
I think that makes you more professional than
openfirecomics.com.
There we go. I think that actually makes you more professional than the Webcomic Beacon. Professionalism.
Yeah, I've really been digging your guys' blog posts. So
yeah.
Well, I'd have to say that several of our members are treating it far more than a hobby. So we're not shooting to be hobbyists. We're shooting to eventually become creative professionals. The closest one to that, I think, well, Ran is a professional artist, and she does the End comic, which is quite awesome.
Awesome. Well, speaking of creative professionals, we have a lot of stories to get through, so yeah. Why don't we dive right in? So every week here on the show, for those of you that are just tuning in, first of all, how the hell did you find us? But secondly, now that you did, every week here on the show, we try and talk about the latest in webcomics news and related stories about technology and comics and things as they relate, and also sometimes funny pictures of cats. So this week is no different as we dive into our first story. One of our top stories this week's a 15 Thoughts on Digital Comics is an article that was sent to us Well, we found it on Fleen, actually, thanks to our news hound, Eric, whose stuff can be found at exiern.com. He's able to put our articles together every week. Here is a bunch of 15 different thoughts about how digital comics are different than print comics. Specifically, how some of the issues that come up with that haven't necessarily been as thought through. Let's start with Dan. Dan, we've all had a chance to kind of review these articles. Was there anything in there that kind of stood out to you?
Well, I mean, it's sort of what are you? The article is addressing really mainstream comics versus things that you find in a comic book store versus buying it as a digital copy. And he's first talking about why, if this comic has been released for so long, if it's a back issue, the digital back issue,
right,
why is that still like $2? And so he sort of lists off all the paradoxes of digital versus print, basically comparing the different costs involved with a digital comic. You've both the print and the digital comic, you have to pay your creators. You have to.
Right. So to just kind of run through his points, I mean, it's we're still at the point where most digital comics have a print iteration as well, and are part of an existing print payment setup, which means that large costs that are generally associated with paper books aren't really connected to digital, and shouldn't that affect the pricing and the stock and how we view them? Are creators really being compensated for their work properly? Are they being paid across all the iterations of the comic? What the costs are with digital release, the deal with the $2.99 pricing, talking about the digital comics market and collectibles, and kind of goes on from there. Just so we're on the same page.
Yep.
Kind of the interesting point I noticed is that the publishers seem to be positioning digital comics as competition to their print comics, which is, as the article points out, a little absurd because the same comics.
Right.
Which is kind of a big problem that they're having in figuring that out.
Well, you know, if they sell a print edition and a digital edition, I'm going to go ahead and guess that they can make more money per, comic on the digital edition. You know, the profit margin's probably much higher because
it depends on how many middlemen you've got. You know, if you're doing something like through Comixology, they take a cut, and then if Comixology is the thing is bought through their app on Apple, then Apple takes a cut.
Yep. But at the same time, there's no print cost. They can you can put up any digital comic, and that entry point is so low that you can just pop it up and see what happens. I mean, that applies more to independent creators, but it's still true for these large publishers.
Right. You know, it depends on the gateway you're moving your comic through. You know, anyone can pop up a website, but I think we'll start seeing a lot as the e-readers get better and more distributed. I think we'll start seeing a lot more comics as straight up e-books instead of through apps.
Yeah. His last point on here, number 15, to sum up, the existing structure of digital comics distribution in its current form is insane. It's based on fear and optimism don't really go together. Fear and opportunism and a recalcitrant belief that the digital culture isn't going to change fundamentally again within the next 5-10 years. It's grown out of a mess of publishers and retailers trying to control the decline of their industry by telling users what it is they want and gambling that they'll continue to settle for less than what they're already getting while still paying a similar price. Price. Boom! Drops the hammer.
That's, yep, that's the long and short of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same conversation that's gone on. I don't know if you guys have followed or seen it or not, of Scott Kurtz's little blow up with some of his retailer friends this week. He posted on Google Plus about it.
I can't keep track of Scott Kurtz's blow up.
I was a little surprised it wasn't in the news links.
All right. Oh. Well, since you bring it up, what's the deal? What's going on? Yeah. This is a news agency, and we can talk about it right now.
Well, earlier this week on Twitter, Scott Kurtz posted just a question to his followers that, you know, the new JLA number one was out, and he was wondering if it was available digitally immediately too, and wondering, you know, do I even have to go to my comic shop to go get it? And apparently, some of the retailers that follow him took that as a giant middle finger, and he's a bad person and stuff like that.
Because he wanted to buy it digitally?
Yeah. So I can get the Google Plus discussion too, and
we can link
that up in the.
Yeah, all the comics that we follow, all the stories that we follow here in the newscast, all go into the show notes for today's episode, which you can find over at our website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. So go check it out, and you can follow along with all the stories that we are talking about here on the show today.
Well, thing...
Hold on, there's a picture of Stanley with Scott Kurtz, which, God... I can't tell which one of them looks like he's in worse shape. Wow, that was mean. Okay, let's keep going. Sorry about that. Daniel.
Well, I think a lot of this plays into the fact that comics right now are really, especially print comics, are still really expensive compared to what they were during the peak. There was an interesting article, and let me see if I can find it. Where it was comparing the cost of comics to the minimum wage.
Yeah, I saw that. And how over time, even though the price, like inflation, all that stuff, it happens, per minimum wage, it's actually gotten much higher. Right?
Right. It went from, I think, 0.4% of a minimum age wage earners. Yep. Weekly salary, and it's up at like 1.25%, which is like quadruple the relative cost for less pages.
Which is actually pretty common with a lot of purchases nowadays. And I've seen the argument that doesn't factor in, you know, the overall, you know, standards of living and health and all that kind of thing. But yeah, it's definitely gone up. And so it hasn't really been kind of accounted for.
Oh, here it is.
Yes. Okay, we'll post that in the feed when the site goes up. Ah, the sound of people typing. Riveting podcasting.
Yes. I am posting it in our little chat.
Awesome.
There we go. VonAllen.com. Yes.
Cool.
Von Allen Studios. So that makes for interesting readings about pricing comics. I think the other thing you have to look at if you're talking about that sort of thing is the value, how much time of entertainment people get out of comics versus other available entertainment.
Right. I mean, we've talked about that a lot. You can get 15 hours out of Angry Birds, which costs the same amount as one comic that you read in, you know, 20 minutes. Now, that's not to say you don't enjoy that comic, you don't go back, you don't look at the artwork, you're glad you have it, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of just amount of enjoyment gotten for $3, there's
replay
definitely
value.
Yeah, it doesn't quite scale. And there's no reason it shouldn't, because Angry Birds took a lot more people a lot more time, supposedly, than it did for, you know, the amount of artists and writers it took to make one comic. So you'd think this could be a scalable possibility, but it just seems like the pricing just hasn't been scaled properly yet. So we will continue to talk about that as articles come up, and we invite you guys to disagree with us fervently on our website over at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. Just leave us notes in the comments, or even email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and we will keep that in mind for the next show. Meanwhile, we'll move on to the next article. Are ebooks the next webcomic bubble? Which is a title that's like, Steve Jobs is dead. Oh, wait, no, he's not. which also happens. Yeah. Anyway, yes. Yeah, it seems a bit much. I mean, the article is kind of interesting. It's from Collective Inkwell. We found it via Collective Inkwell. Normally, we find them in other places, but not today. Anyway, you know, so there's this idea ebooks are surging right now. For the first time ever, now ebooks are outselling print books as in the last 6 months. And that is a huge shift considering last year ebooks were under a quarter of total book sales. So that's a huge shift. And because of that, you know, this article is asking the question by David Wright. Does this mean that ebooks is a place for webcomics to jump in the same way we jumped into the internet for webcomics? And he also makes the point, well, you know, there's a built-in payment model here that wasn't in webcomics when you just posted a site with free stuff on it. You know, it's not obvious that you're going to get paid, but with ebooks, you know, there's a very clear payment structure happening. So, Alex, I'll turn it over to you. What'd you think?
I think it's worth a try. I mean, it's not like I have anything better to do at the moment.
are you kidding? So you're writing an ebook? Are you talking about this in terms of releasing your comic as an ebook?
Yeah, the idea would be to release your comic as an ebook.
Yeah. I have been interested in releasing my previous comic, Garanos, as an ebook. And I just haven't had the time to do it yet, but I still want to. And hopefully there will still be interest on a comic that's been over for a year and a half.
Well, you know, it's ended though, right? It's self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a full story. I mean, why not have that as an ebook and see what happens?
Yeah, in my wonderful fantasy land, I actually have a, you know, all 487 pages of Garanos in one volume instead of three, and also things, and retouching some pages and stuff like that.
Which in an ebook you could actually do.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's definitely
and if there's interest in a print edition someday, then I'll have the file already. So.
Yeah. The one thing that they also say in this article, though, is that this new frontier, as it were, of ebooks is kind of like the new frontier of comics, where because there's so little barrier to entry that we're going to see a lot of crap on it. Not Alex's comic, but other stuff that's going to be crappy is going to be on there. And, you know, you have to go up against that and you have to stand out in the sea of all of that.
In the sea of crap.
As someone who's actually writing a book right now and hoping to self-publish it and be part of this whole wave of hopefully not crap. It's very interesting to look at the ebook phenomenon versus the webcomic phenomenon, because there's essentially no gatekeepers, but microtransactions are already in place. And so you don't have to go freemium. In fact, the people who control the e-readers don't like you to do the freemium model that is done with webcomics. So the main difference between the webcomics community and the ebook thing is you're trying to actually sell what you write. And you have people who will read us, you can give them a sample, and they're now used to going and buying the rest of it.
So is this something that might actually replace the webcomic site model?
I think it's got the potential to, depending on how things develop. Right now, the e-reader, such as the Kindle, we've been working on a Kindle version of Walking Lilithi in different forms for quite a while now, and it just, the Kindle itself is too small, and we'd have to basically redo a bunch of pages and reletter, and I haven't been willing to do that just for the sake of the Kindle version. But the e-readers, we could. I have an app version of Walking the Left Thief for the iPad that looks great, and the Kindle is getting an upgrade to a color edition, which is a tablet. So I think you could see a lot more comics just distributed via Amazon, and eventually, the thing is, people are used to getting their gag comics and story comics for free via the web right now, and I'm not sure that it's going to be easy to overcome and switch to a new paid model, because you still have all the problems as an indie, and you're not. In terms of trying to make a name for yourself, but you also have to deal with the paywall versus people who are not using the paywall. All right. Am I making any sense? Sorry.
A little. Alex?
I feel like for existing properties such as like my webcomic, if I, you know, put it up on as an ebook, you know, that's still sort of the freemium thing. But I think it could be an interesting frontier for, you know, original content that is only, you know, available in ebook form and not available anywhere else for free.
All right.
I don't know.
There we go. Well, we'll continue this discussion over at our website, webcomicbeacon.com. Moving on to our next article. Who is snapping fervently? Did anyone else hear that?
No, it's not me.
All right. Anyway, so we have an article by Jessica Heesch. Now, Jessica Heesch is a name that maybe a lot of you comics people out there may not know, but those of us in the design community are probably familiar with her work. She does a lot of cool projects. She recently launched a site called Don't Fear the Internet. That's pretty amazing. Don'tFearTheInternet.com. But she also has a blog, and on it, she recently posted an article, The Dark Art of Pricing, which, as we all know, how do you get paid for your work is a very tricky subject. And knowing exactly what to do about it can be tricky, and exactly how much to charge. And she kind of breaks it down and says how much you should charge. Well, she doesn't give any numbers, but she talks about how some highlighted points about not charging by the hour, licensing, rights management, and making sure that you charge enough, because if you don't charge enough, then you're actually hurting the industry for everybody, which is a concept that's talked about a lot in design, and I don't think is really talked about at all in comics. So it's really interesting to kind of take this kind of guise of illustration and design and talking about it in a comics context. So we all read this article. I've read it before, and I've heard enough design teachers shout this stuff at me that I got to say, I was like, yeah, okay, of course. But I've talked to others about it, and this is new news for some people. So Alex, let's start with you. Any revelations in here?
Well, you know, I always hear things about, you know, price yourself fairly and make sure you're getting yourself, you know, enough money so that you're not devaluing the work of everybody and stuff. And I'm like, okay, great. How do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, okay, so one thing that they talk about, or she talks about at the beginning of the article, that I think is a really good point, which is you're going to get screwed over a lot at first. And
yeah.
You're going to do a lot of work for not much pay, and you're going to screw up some contracts, and you're going to run into problems. And that is the nature of the first couple of years of doing work as a creative professional. It's the same. It's almost the money you lose is the cost of learning the right way to do it. And over time, though, you get better at it, and you learn from your mistakes. But yeah, there is kind of a point that she's missing here, which is how do you get anyone to pay you that? But I think the point that I really like from her is when you give someone a price, if they come back and say, great, and walk away, then guess what? You didn't charge enough. If they come back and say, that's a little high. Can we talk you down just a little? Or like, I guess we can do that or something. That's at least a little begrudging means you charge just enough to get the most money from the project. And then if they say that it's way too much, then you can either try and do it within their budget, figure out what their budget is, or instead just kind of say, well, you know, it's what it costs to do it, so that sucks for you. Now, there is one key difference here. The people paying for, in this case, are not customers, but clients. And there is a distinct difference between clients and customers. Clients being one person who wants to hire you to draw one thing in particular. So this might apply to, say, sketches or being hired to illustrate a book by a writer or a publisher or something like that. Not necessarily, I'm selling my book for $5 at my table. But it's still creative professionals. So have you ever done any kind of client work, Alex?
Just a little bit. I mean, it's mostly stuff for, you know, family and friends. And I'm starting to get some more friends of my friends actually contacting me for things. Like, I'm going to be doing a wedding program cover art for a friend of my sister because she saw the wedding program cover art that I did for my sister's wedding.
All right.
And stuff like that.
How about you, Dan? Have you done any client work?
I haven't done any sort of client work. I'm still doing the writing thing, and Walking the Lethe is my only published or out there work right now.
Gotcha. Okay, well, any feedback on the article while we're on the topic? Since we're here and all.
I mean, it's pretty... No, I don't really have any comment.
Okay, fair enough.
Nothing intelligent to say.
So she doesn't really get into the numbers, but I mean, the truth is the more you do, the more you can get paid for your work. And
it reminds me I need to get a copy of the GAG Guide to Ethics and Pricing.
Yes, the Graphic Artist Guild Guide to Pricing and Ethics, or Ethics and Pricing, or whatever it is a great book for that sort of thing. It's kind of intimidating, but it's worth it.
I got it out of the library a couple years ago.
Yeah. They update it every couple of years, so it's worth it.
Yeah, they have a new edition like every other year, so you should probably get the new one.
It's funny because the Graphics Artist Guild does that and like nothing else. Like their website's crap and they have nothing else out there. But they do this one book that everyone trusts. So go figure. Anyway, with that, we'll move on to the next article. This one's on strategies for monetizing your digital content from GigaOM, which talks about building... I got to be honest. I don't remember which one this is. I'll turn it over to Alex. Alex, did you get a chance to read this one?
Yeah, this is actually about a free webinar that GigaOM Pro and PayPal are putting on this week, this Wednesday morning.
Ah, yes.
About, you know... building a better paywall, strategies for monetizing news content. And it's got a panel of experts, and it looks like it's just going to be a round table.
Yeah, and they're going to feature people that have done this, people from GigaOM and PayPal, which, for those of you that haven't ever been to a webinar, they're normally about an hour. Of that hour, the first 25 minutes is things you all go, duh. And then there's 5 minutes of, that's an interesting tidbit or that's an interesting thing that you get. And then there's about 20 minutes of them trying to sell you on their product to do that thing. That is pretty much every webinar I've ever been to on any topic. So
that's a real vote of confidence for this.
So this thing starts at 10 a.m. At about 10:20, they're going to say something totally interesting, and then they'll move into other stuff that they try and sell you. But, you know, honestly, it's free. If you're not doing anything else at 10 a.m., if you normally have NPR in the background anyway or something, or like music or podcast while you're working, why not tune into the webinar and have that going while you're working? So wouldn't be a bad thing to check out. It's Pacific Daylight Time, by the way, PDT at 10 a.m., so... do the math on wherever, whatever that's
so
like.
That's like ass early on the East Coast.
Yeah, ass early on the East Coast, whatever that's like in your area. And they might record it and put it online. We'll wait and see.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Next is some tech news. The Wacom, makers of the graphics tablets that most of us know and some of us love, have a new product out called Inkling. Inkling is a pen that you can use on any paper you want. And as long as you have this little sensor that comes with the pen and you attach that to the top of the paper, it keeps track of every stroke that you make. You can go to your computer later, upload it, and then have the image on your computer instead of done by hand. Now, from the videos they show, they make it seem like it's perfect and awesome and amazing. Obviously, it's their videos. It's not out and available enough yet that I've seen any reviews, none of from other people. It seems like it's just a cool thing that could happen. The other cool thing about it, you can actually change layers. So you can, it's not going to be one flat image that's scanned in. You can actually draw something and then tap a button on the sensor and then just keep drawing, and it'll be a new layer of content. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that.
I wonder
that
how much they're charging for the refills. The whole kit looks kind of fancy.
Well, the whole kit's
like
200.
You get four refills with the kit.
You get four pen refills. I really don't think they're trying to make their money on the little ink cartridge that comes in it, but you never know. If they charge more than $10 for refills, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But hopefully that's not the case. But it works with all the latest systems. Imports into all Adobe programs using Inkling Sketch Manager, and can go into, from there, into Photoshop, Illustrator, Autodesk, Sketchbook Pro, and presumably more in the future. I'm most intrigued. It goes into Illustrator. I mean,
yeah. You can,
this can create vector format. Yeah, that would be super handy if the quality's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see on this. I don't have $200 lying around. But
there's some actual reviews of the product, Digital Arts,
mm-hmm.
or preview. Yeah, this is a paywall thing. Oh no, skip this app.
Yeah, I've been looking around. I've seen, you know, some people reviewing it, but no one's gotten any actual physical copies of it to review yet. That sort of level of journalism and review. Consumer Report kind of thing hasn't really hit yet, so I want to wait and see for that personally. But Alex, you're an artist. Do you work with a Wacom now?
Yeah, I do. I have a Wacom Bamboo.
Oh, the Bamboo,
which is, it's the little one. It's just the entry level one.
Yeah, but it works, and it works great.
Yeah, it works fine. It was $80 when I got it.
Nice.
And before that, I used an ancient Graphire 2.
That's
that
what I had.
Lasted me like 6 years. So they wear like iron.
Yeah, they're great. I gotta say, if it were any other company, I would call it complete BS. But Wacom has their act together. Everything they've done, whatever the price range, it's gonna be a good product.
Mm-hmm.
They have yet to let me down with something that's not a good product. So
they say it's a bureau pen. Does that mean anything to artist types versus a radiograph?
Yeah, Biro is basically the British equivalent to Bic in the U.S. It's just a regular ballpoint pen.
It's a ballpoint, which I mean might be a issue actually for some artists, because that's not necessarily the nicest pen inside
I wish there was a graphite option on this, because I like sketching in pen, but I also like doing things in pencil too. If I don't want such a hard bold line,
but I think that's the issue. I don't know. I don't think this thing is picking up pressure beyond on or off pressure. You know, I don't think it does like levels of thickness along with it, which a pencil would pick up. So I think that was actually kind of purposeful.
You're plus, really, there's I guess that makes sense.
Well, plus, there's
the
no
article
way
I just
pick up
linked to, guys, and you can put it in the show notes. Shows the differences between the sketch, the rasterized file, in as an Illustrator file.
All right.
It's pretty interesting.
This is from Digital Arts. Okay, so it looks like they have actually been able to do a review, and they show both versions. It looks, pretty good.
You definitely lose
definitely
like
cleaner.
The thickness.
You definitely get lose the thickness, right? Because it doesn't have that actual ink. effect. But, you know, if you wanted a sketch in your computer, it seems like a pretty quick way to do it. And it's obviously much more portable than your basic scanner. So that might be a factor for some people. All right. Well, we would like your thoughts on it. And if anyone out there buys it, please let us know how it is.
And if Wacom would like to send me one to review,
Send a review copy over to the Webcomic Beacon, just get in touch with us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Don't you guys have a snail mail address now?
If we do, I don't know it.
Okay. I think it's coming soon, but Fess hasn't actually...
gotten the P.O. box.
Gotten the P.O., yeah.
All right, so we, at this point, should probably take a moment to check in with our sponsors and things. And so I will turn it over to our halfway point sort of pseudo... this isn't halfway. It's about halfway. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more stories here on the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. It'll be ages will pass for us, but you guys will barely notice we were gone. So stick around. We'll be right back.
You pay, we play. That's all it takes to get a song created for your next big hit. And it's going to cost a lot of money. Yeah. You pay, we play. Can play any genre that you like, but it's gonna cost you big, big money up front. Here's a skill that could be working for you. We can funk it up, get your groove on, singing to the ladies in the front row.
We can funk it up,
funny lyrics work better with a funky flow.
Gotta funk it up,
make the ladies in the front row forget about the fellows.
We just funked it up.
If the funk isn't working out, we can add a little metal. Your teeth, disobey your parents' metal. Social outcasts, make your pee your pants kind of metal.
We can break it down now if you want us to. Well, all you gotta do is ask. The strings come in between bars four and two. Well,
style over.
If you got the money, then we got the time. We'll drop a beat perfectly crafted to bust a rhyme. An 808 kick to make the bucks move, and syncopated hand claps facilitating the groove. A set for free gems are hot and guaranteed to please. Discounts are applied when you buy more than three or four. Hell, why not get a baker's dozen? You can use the extra beats to bake some blueberry muffins.
You pay, we play. That's all it takes to get a song created for your next big hit. And it's gonna cost a lot of money. Yeah, money, cash, money, lot of money. Gotta spend that money, oh yeah, give it to me now. We love a lot of money.
We're pocket.
What the hell are you talking about?
Pocket.
Come on, back to the song.
You pay, we play. It don't seem expensive at first unless you have a discount coupon. Too late, I'll spend the savings offer expired last year.
You pay,
Oh my God,
what the hell are you talking about?
Oh my god.
Hey, we're getting paid for this one, right?
No, I don't think so.
That was You Pay, We Play by Possible Oscar, found at the Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
I remember in the old days when we were on the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Yes. Welcome back to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. I'm your host, Roscott. With me, just like before, Alex from alexsguide.net and Dan from walkingthelethy.com. We will continue on to our next story. The new 4chan, if you will, Moot, creator of 4chan, Christopher Poole, unveiled in January a site called Canvas, canv.as, and has been slowly growing it, purposefully trying to take his time to make sure it doesn't grow too much too fast. And this new message board forum idea, which takes the things that he saw happen on 4chan, tries to better build technologies towards them as opposed to the completely bare bones message board system of 4chan, and take it into new directions, has launched and is now open to the public. Now, I've actually been on Canvas a few months now because I'm that special, and it's really interesting. You can go through, and any photo that's on there, you can manipulate using tools that are right in built into the browser. You can also use your own Photoshopping whatever and then just upload it back in. They have a series of stickers and stamps that you can put with each post and article and whatever to make sure that like things get upvoted. And but it's not just upvoted. There's like lol versus smiley face versus this and that and whatever. It's pretty robust and it's pretty cool looking, and so far they've been trying to approach it with a lot more of a business. 4chan's kind of famously not ever made money for Moot, as cool as it might be for him, but Canvas has been hitting the virtual capital market and has raised over $3.6 million to try and get up and running. So there's some backing there, which is kind of nice to see. Now, the question is, will his audience follow him? Will people in general follow him? But it's also a much better place for artists because it asks that people show things visually as much as with words. So there's a lot of chances for artists to go in and express what they want to do without having to resort to just typing. And that in itself is a pretty great concept.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Have you guys taken a look at Canvas at all?
I have not. I've just brought it up.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it before today.
I've heard of it, but no, I haven't really played around with it. So it's an image board, pretty much?
It's an image board with a message board built in as well. You can upload images. You can drag stickers in to vote on images. You can remix other people's images just by clicking on them. So it actively encourages you to upload things and then get them remixed. So there's a lot of opportunities for, you know, I draw something, I post it, you manipulate it and post something else based on it. You manipulate this, that, and do something based on it. So, and in the news article we link to in the show, there's, you know, Nyan Cat and then Galactus Cat and all these things kind of based on it. And, you know, just lots of funny images. So it's like Tumblr meets 4chan. That's my take on it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a remix button.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like a cool idea.
Cool.
So, yeah, I say we all check it out when you get a chance. It is definitely worth seeing what it can do. And the answer is a bit. You take this, you put a Wacom tablet with it, and you can annoy people to new levels.
Oh, I wonder if it's
feeling peevish. I know where to go.
I wonder if it integrates with the iPad.
That's a good question. I have no idea. All right. Well, so for those of you guys out there listening, check it out. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your response. All right. Move on to some quick tidbits. So Small Press Expo is happening this weekend, SPX as it's known. If my voice sounds a bit harsh, it's because last night Super Art Fight performed after the Ignatz Awards. It was a great show. SPX is running strong today. By the time you guys hear this, it will be far over. But there's a lot of cool stuff happening there this weekend. One of the things is that they're raising money for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which they actually do every year. From what I understand, they also CBLDF had a pretty kicking room party. But that's not really news. That's just kind of expected.
That's your news.
Yeah. So there's a lot of donated artwork from a lot of their guests. People like Molly Crabapple and Bill Morrison, Jeffrey Brown, Charles Vest, Tony Millionaire, Roz Chast, etc., etc., etc. All trying to raise money. And there's an auction. Well, there's an auction yesterday, and they're doing that and more to raise lots of money. So that's there you go. We also have a more interesting and slightly more conniving article. When you Googled Marvel, when you searched for Marvel on Twitter, as of, I'm trying to find the date on this thing, as of Friday, what you got for the top tweet was DC Comics, which did not have the word Marvel in it. So, it also did mention, yes, promoted by DC Comics, but they clearly said, when people search for Marvel, show them DC Comics.
The second one is some random person, and then the third one is actually Marvel News.
Right. Well, you know, 10 minutes after the story broke, if you started searching for Marvel, you got information on this story. But for a short amount of time, that is what you got. And as the article calls them, cheeky buggers. That was over on bleedingcool.com, which had the...
I'm just picturing DC Comics, you know, Snidely Whiplash, you know, twirling his mustache.
Yes. Yes, we will release 52 new comics and... stupid thing. Anyway,
gone now.
Switching gears to some other cheeky buggers, unfortunately so. In Granite City, Missouri, outside of St. Louis, there is a gentleman named Mike Meyer. Mike Meyer has been collecting his Superman paraphernalia for forever. And also, as is mentioned in the story, he's a mentally disabled guy. But that doesn't stop him from collecting lots of Superman stuff, having a job, and from what I understand, being a really nice guy. Anyway, one of his friends at work got hold of the fact that he had all this stuff and then went to his place and stole it. He had his entire collection stolen from his website. Ooh.
And that, my friend, is the definition of dick.
Yeah, by a guy named Gary.
Gary, you're a douchebag.
Yes.
An epic douchebag.
So, you know, Gary, if you're out there, screw you. People are actually collecting new paraphernalia to send to Mike to try and replace his collection. Obviously, it won't be the same, but, you know, the guy could use some help. So if you have some Superman stuff you want to send him, or, you know what, if you send him something with Batman on it, I bet he wouldn't care. I mean, it might not be his favorite, but you never know. Anyway, so if you feel like supporting him, we'll be putting a link to that in the show post. So keep an eye out for that. Which brings us into
Watch your back, Gary.
Yeah, and watch your back, Gary. which brings us to a couple oddities real quick here. First is Neil Gaiman's new Kickstarter. He and Amanda Palmer are trying to go on tour and are raising money on Kickstarter to do it. It's a featured Kickstarter. I think it's making more than it needed on Kickstarter by a long shot at last check. Yes, they needed 20 grand. They have 96 grand.
Yes. Now, Neil Gaiman says, I need money. And society in general says, where do I send the check?
Oh, where do I sign?
Yeah.
How much? How much?
Now, the pledge levels for Neil Gaiman's thing was $1, of course, like all Kickstarters. 25, 30, 50, 50 or more, and a slightly different thing. $100 or more, 200 or more, 500 or more, 500 or more, different things. 1,000 or more, and 2,500. Five people donated $2,500 at once to Neil Gaiman to see this VIP tour. You get a numbered, signed everything. You get 6 days of shows. And then, for whatever reason, the Bleeding Cool article that mentions it mentions that you get a naked hug from Neil Gaiman, which I could find nothing about on the site. I'm guessing it's in the video, which I didn't
get. It implies
that
it's in the video, yeah.
Yeah.
The actual thing says, yeah. A special hug from Amanda and Neil for being so supportive.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about the special hug you might get from Neil Gaiman. Maybe it's just me.
It could be a Cthulhu hug.
That would be extra epic. So anyway,
sucks out your brain at the end. Kiss.
So anyway, especially, if you're a big Neil Gaiman fan, go check it out. Also,
that would be like the greatest sandwich hug ever.
Sandwich hug just sounds delicious. I haven't had lunch yet. This sounds great.
I want dinner.
Okay, so then we have a quick comic from Joy of Tech, which we found via Bleeding Cool, about Superman trying to get a Google Plus account. But since Superman doesn't have a real name and Google Plus only takes real names, he's having some issues. And his account keeps getting suspended. And it was funny. Go read it. Also, we have some Styrofoam cup art that's selling for $1,000 a Styrofoam per Styrofoam cup. This
what?
Is the art.
I missed this in the...
Yeah, well, not all of them are actually going for that much. But some of them are on Etsy. And
this goes in the why didn't I think of that 5 years ago category.
You know,
are you sure this isn't like on Etsy fail blog or something?
No, it's not. So his name's Qiming Bui. He's
an
immigrant from
Etsy.
Malaysia, based in Southern California. And I mean, they talk about how he's able to do this. What they don't talk about in the article anyway is how he made the jump from not selling them at all to selling them for $1,000, which I would love to hear the breakdown on that one.
Well, they're pretty good, but I don't
but it
think
does
I
say
would.
In one of these related articles, he started drawing them in 2006 at a coffee shop, and he decided he liked it and takes an hour to several hours to put each one together. But again, no idea how he went from that to thousands of dollars. But more power to them. Also, I'm thirsty.
They're pretty good.
They are. Mm. Some of them are pointless. Yeah. He switches up the style on like everyone. And he's clearly, you know, a good artist. I wonder how well... I mean, good thing about Styrofoam Sharpie...
On his Etsy page, there's several different price points depending on how complicated the drawing is on the cup. So
good for him.
For $380, you can have a very simple one.
He's an immigrant who is working in a coffee shop, and now he's making money. Go that guy. Sell one cup a month and be fine. Well, maybe two or three. But
ooh, the harder, faster is kind of cool.
I want to start selling a product worth $3,000, just so if I sell one, I'm just good. That's all. Because, yeah, it takes a while to sell it, but guess what? If you sell it once, that's all you need to do. You can relax. Anyway, then finally... Our final story of the day. The first, the newest Amazing Spider-Man cover features Mary Jane sitting in what appears to be a pretty impossible pose. This is Amazing Spider-Man 601 cover by J. Scott Campbell. And he has drawn Mary Jane in a pose that what he believes to be a normal pose, but no one else really could sit in. So 4chan decided to make fun of this. Gee, big surprise. And has put up a lot of people trying to reenact this very same pose in photos, and we found the article on Comic Book Resources, and you can follow our link to that. It's honestly, I saw it on Tumblr, and then even more.
Yeah,
people
that's
doing
where I
it.
Saw it too.
So it's been making the rounds.
She's somehow kneeling on one leg, and has the other like
tucked under.
Upright.
Yeah. So she's kind of kneeling but sitting up, but on a couch.
With her back arched and her boobs pressed together by her arms, of course.
Yep. So she can hold a cup of tea that looks like it's splooging.
It looks like she's dislocated her. Yep.
Yeah.
That implies that, you know, she's has a waist. That's really the issue here.
Her waist kind of disappears behind her elbows.
Yeah, a little bit. This is a Photoshop disaster. I think that's what's really going on. This is Photoshop.
This is an art disaster.
Yeah. Wow, that's something. But I love that she's still got the Spidey shirt on her boobs.
Like, yeah.
Right on her boobs.
The cleavage is running right between his eyes.
Oh. I don't even know what to say about that. But, yeah, so, Rob Liefeld would be proud. That's all I have to say about that. While driving down the road and inking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he still alive after that?
Rob Liefeld? Yeah, as far as I know.
I guess he had a video.
No horrific car crash yet. Who inks while driving? I still can't get over that.
Rob Liefeld does.
Rob Liefeld. Oh, man. What? If only he started doing stunts while driving while inking. That's that's when I started paying attention again. It's like, this is Hawk
Shout
and Dove.
Shout out to Cannon while
inked
inking.
While, yeah. Yeah. Trapeze artist while inking.
Jumping through a flaming hoop while inking.
Yeah. This comic, though, this J. Scott Campbell cover, that was just drawn in a studio. How boring. God. I only read comics that are done while doing extreme sports. Sorry.
The detailing on her jeans is nice, though.
There you go. Yeah, the jeans do look nice. I love the colors.
Yeah, the
color theory, the color palette's great, but...
He didn't do the colors, though, right?
Probably not.
Cover art's one of those kind of special fields that I honestly, kind of a whole different model.
It could go either way.
By the way, the 4chan forum starts with the phrase, "Pro tip for comic book artists, no human alive sits that like that as a way of relaxing. This is beyond ridiculous."
And yet, she does look so relaxed in it.
I guess when you don't have to worry about breaking your spine, you can sit in pretty much any position.
It's the joy of not having a spine.
Since she's a two-dimensional character.
Yeah, she's just drawn that way. It's not her fault.
Yeah. She apparently just got out of yoga class. Or is still in it, though, to make that pose.
Yeah, I guess Mary Jane seems like the yoga type.
Yeah, I get that from her. That makes sense. Anyway, so go check it out. And with that, we are going to wrap up the show. So thank you to my guests for being here today. Alex, as always, it was a pleasure. Thanks for being on the show.
Of course.
And Dan, thank you for being on the show. Walkingthelethy.com is his website. Go check it out. Anything? What's happening over there right now? Anything of particular interest?
Oh, right now we are... we have a demon and a possessed human who just walked into a maternity ward with a gun. So,
like you do.
So there is carnage in the future, perhaps.
Drama, action, suspense.
All of these things and more. So go check it out. And when you're done with that, go to our website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. We want to hear from you. You can also now leave us voicemails, prank calls, drunk calls even. We'll play them on the show. 1-320-310-0922. With that, thank you all so much for tuning in. We record every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. That's not true. We record a lot of Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., let's be honest. And normally it's about 10:45 by the time we get started. Anyway, we normally record, we post about it, we record live on Ustream as much as possible, so you can follow us. All the information is on the website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. I've been your host, Ross Scott. You can find my stuff at The System, which is systemcomic.com. I hope you check it out. There are comics there 3 times a week. And with that, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you all today, being in your ears as you're getting work done, driving places, at the gym, whatever you're doing. And we will see you next time. So with that, as always, peanut butter and jelly, everybody. Have a good time. I wonder how many people actually listen to this goddamn show.
Well, we usually get maybe around 5 people in the chat room.
Yeah.
When all of us tweet about it at once, pretty much.
By our tweets combined.